This is the After Hours Director's Spotlight, presented by Amro Music. It's the podcast where we chat with music educators to celebrate the joy of teaching music and learn about strategies for success. This week, Nick Averwater continues his conversation with Anastasia Holmes, director of bands at San Alejo Middle School in San Marcos, California, a city of 95,000 people, 30 miles north of San Diego. Anastasia was recently named to the 2022 Yamaha 40 Under 40 list of music educators. And in this episode, we'll find out more about the school's various after-school musical opportunities for musicians at all levels. And we'll also learn about how Anastasia and her students adapted to the pandemic and how strongly the music program has bounced back in the last year. Our conversation was recorded July 8th, 2022. It's broken up into two episodes, and this is part two.
So in transitioning a little bit too, something that really stood out to me that I want to unpack with you is you do a lot of what we would consider, at least in the southeastern United States, of non-traditional after-school learning opportunities for your students through like world percussion classes, exposing them to different genres. I believe you mentioned a leadership style development course that and some of the after-school things that you do. So help us understand how this program came to be, what role you're trying to fill by engaging the students in this way, and the response you've gotten from the students since you've started these programs.
So I have always been one of those music teachers that stays probably too long after school. And there's usually a handful of kids in the band room practicing or goofing around or asking if they can help file music or whatever. And, you know, those kids, you all have them. And we wanted to give them more opportunities outside of the large band kind of setting to experience music. And for a while we did a pep band, so that was a lot of work, but the kids liked it. So they would meet, and it was like this ragtag little group, and we'd play at the volleyball games and the basketball games, the home games, and it was fun, but it was a lot of work. And I was like, but why don't we structure this into something that is more meaningful for them as musicians versus just being silly and you know, being at a sporting event. Not that that's not good, but they can continue doing that in high school if they want. So we decided to start after-school ensembles. We did woodwind ensembles. We did brass ensembles of different various kinds. And then we also had percussion ensemble where the kids could come in and work on like small or large setting ensembles. Because outside of that, we also have our solo and ensemble festival that we host. And that's a big element to our music program that our kids participate in, and they love it. And it just highlights those individuals outside of the large band and what they can do and pushes them in new ways. So these after-school things were just kind of another way to incorporate kids in different settings. The great thing about them is you can have a kid in your lowest advanced group playing with a student from your top advanced group. And that really just is, again, another kind of form of mentorship. They may not be really helping them by talking to them, but they're helping them by playing with them and guiding them and giving them more confidence as musicians. And then usually mid-year, we invite sixth graders or first-year players to join in on our after-school programs once they're ready, once they know more about their instrument and they can kind of keep up with some of the stuff we're doing. So we have always kind of done these elements of our program, but this past year, coming back after the pandemic, we were able to expand and kind of more structure things. Our admin was able to get a grant that allowed us to purchase some more music, some more equipment, and particularly a lot of cultural drums for our music program. So we ordered African djembes and drums from India, different elements of percussion instruments and Latin hand percussion instruments. And so because of that, we were able to incorporate that in our percussion ensemble after school. And in most cases, our after-school stuff has always been just for band kids, because it kind of has to be, unless a kid is playing something outside of school and they're able to keep up musically. But percussion can be done by most people if they can at least feel the beat. So we opened it up to other kids in our school, and we did have a handful of kids participate. And what we did is, to not make it intimidating, we encouraged kids to come, try it out. You don't need to come every rehearsal, and you don't need to perform if you don't feel comfortable. Just see what it's all about. So throughout the year, we had some kids drop in, try it out, and they got busy with something else. They wouldn't come. So it was okay. The other thing that came from this open-ended percussion ensemble is that kids that played other instruments in our program were able to experience percussion, and specifically cultural percussion. So we had our sixth grade tuba player and an upright bass player and a trumpet player, and kids that not necessarily would have the opportunity to try percussion get an opportunity once a week after school to learn those elements of percussion and still love their other instrument just as much, but it's a different experience. So it was this group of kids, from our top band kids to our kids that play other instruments and are still learning percussion, as well as some of the students that were not involved in our music program, had the opportunity to try world percussion. We structured it so that there were different levels. So if there was kids that were really high, they would be paired up with a student that was newer on that instrument, so they would kind of help guide them when they're playing their ensemble parts. And then the ultimate goal was the festival, the percussion festival that the high school hosts. It's called the San Diego Percussion Festival, and it's hosted at our high school. They bring in the San Diego Symphony percussion musicians, and they judge and they give them comments, and then they do a clinic on stage after the performance. So it's really great for our kids that are really focused on percussion to get those elements of that high level of kind of musical growth, but also a fun experience for the kids that aren't in percussion to see a little bit of that world. So that's kind of the gist, and we're really excited because even though that ELO grant is not coming back next year, we are still going to be doing these ensembles after school, specifically the percussion one, but also others that our kids might be interested in. We always ask the kids, hey, we're thinking of doing a saxophone ensemble after school on one day a week. Who's interested in doing it? Is it worth it? Do you guys want to do it? We're big in that in our program. If there's not enough interest, we're not probably going to do it. Maybe we'll do it the next year. But if there's a lot of interest, we want to make sure that kids have these opportunities. We found if they have them and they're excited about it, they go much better. So the percussion ensemble is definitely coming back next year, and we're hoping to continue keeping it open to any student on our campus that might be interested.
So you do open these ensembles up to students that are not actively participating in the band.
Yeah, the only one that we can really do that with is percussion. Although we have had students that play piano, drums, bass, or guitar join our jazz band in the morning.
Okay.
If they are not participating in the band class, we allow them to do those ensembles. But the other, it's really hard if they want to do, say they want to play saxophone ensemble. They don't know how to play saxophone and they don't have a saxophone. It's really tricky to help them out. So kids that come to me and ask, hey, I can't do band this year, what can I do? We have those kind of options. And honestly, if a kid can't be in band for some reason and they want to learn to play the trumpet, I encourage them, hey, let's talk to your parents. Why don't you come in a couple times a week at lunch? I'll set you up with somebody who plays trumpet, and I'll be there to help you, and you can maybe try it. And if you want to do band next year, you can. So we never say no to a kid who's interested in music.
Yeah, that's a great benefit that I hadn't really considered, but it does provide that alternative for the students that perhaps have a conflict with an honors class or another activity they're looking to do, to keep them engaged with music. And hopefully they'll come back around and get involved the following year. But I love, too, that you open it up to other students. I mean, it very much reminds me of something that we call, y'all come bands, where it's just kind of show up and let's make some music together and play on our instruments and just have a good time. But something that I don't want to miss either is that, I mean, you all are working towards the percussion you mentioned, is that you do have a performance, right? So there is that incentive of working towards something, that performance opportunity, which I think is so important, that, for after school ensembles, we don't want to lose sight of that. And so I just think that's such a unique program that you all offer. And even though the grant funding was temporary, it sounds like you all have plans to continue that into the foreseeable future, because there's a ton of benefits with it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if you want your program to be successful, you know that you're going to be doing a lot of things outside of the school day that's not for money. It's for the gratification that your program is growing and the kids are enjoying music. And so we've done after-school stuff for many years without compensation, and that's fine. You know, I think if you love your job and you love what you're doing, you put into it what you want out of it. And so one of the things with the after-school stuff, I agree, you have to have some type of end goal. So for percussion, it's the festival. For the other groups, we've had them perform at the community tree lighting ceremony. So they learn a bunch of holiday tunes. So it gives them something to look forward to. Sometimes those ensembles, we have them perform at the end of the year concert if they've really worked up something. So it's a great opportunity for kids to play with other musicians they wouldn't normally play with, in settings that they might not normally participate in.
Yeah, very cool. I just think the way you all have structured that, very intentional, a lot of fun, something that's very different and very fun, cool for your students. Well, I just would love to touch on one more topic with you, because I think you bring a really unique perspective being from California. We've only had one other guest on the show from California, and not for a director spotlight, the opportunity to sit down. And of course, part of the impact of COVID, there's certainly this geographical component based on, how long your school was shut down. It tends to be partially determined by geography. And of course, in California, you all were one of the ones that was shut down for a while, as you very, very well know. So I would love to just hear your perspective about how your teaching style, has it changed as a result of the pandemic? Have your expectations for the program changed? Is how you communicate with students changed as a result of the pandemic? Are you noticing students coming back with behavioral challenges or things that you didn't note before the pandemic? And just your overall impression of where we are now that we are back in person together.
So, California was, it took us a long time again to get back to what they call normal. And I don't even know if that's something that we are totally at yet. But, the year that COVID hit and we went home, like most states, everyone kind of just stayed at home. It was kind of the peak of our musical time in March. And so some of our bands got to participate in certain things and some of them didn't. But we went home and it was optional to show up to class for the last bit of the year, which was a struggle. And so we just tried to make it fun online. We tried to create that community and give the kids a place to go. And then we weren't really sure what the next year was going to look like. And then they told us we were going to be online. And myself and my co-director, Shannon McGinnis, were like, how are we going to do this? How are we going to create something online that's kids want to come back to? So through lots of work and lots of, conversations with each other and creating, how would that curriculum look and what would we be doing similarly? How would we change things that would make it work for online? and still engage our students in some type of musical experience. So I think like many directors, we did the digital bands, all the different, like take all their different videos and compile them into something just so that they could have some type of performance, I guess. But it was hard for the kids, especially the kids who've done music before and knew what they were missing out on. So it became just have fun with the kids online, make them laugh. We did this thing where we would just meet before class, like 15 minutes before class. It would be me and my co-director, and we would just be talking. And we would just be talking about silly things like, I was like, hey, my dog just farted. Aren't dog farts the worst smelling thing ever? So just to kind of keep it real and keep it silly and just give the kids a place. And I got so many emails from parents being like, I just loved your conversation today. I'm like, oh my gosh, they're listening to us. So just to, you know, keep that sense of we're here for you. We understand that, you know, you might not be able to play your instrument if your dad's on a call and it's a really important business call. And, you know, we just finger along and do the best you can. And so we just had to be understanding and sympathetic to that. So then we came back and our school did something that I'm still kind of frustrated with. They did a quarter system. So we had our kids for 8 to 9 weeks. And then we had another group of kids for 8 to 9 weeks. And then we got our other kids back for 8 to 9 weeks. And then we went back to the second quarter kids for the fourth quarter. So by the time we came back in person, we only got our third quarter kids for 1 week in person. And those were all of our advanced kids. So all of our eighth graders and seventh graders who had been missing music so much and being together didn't get a chance to play together, only for a week outside. And it was just rough. Like, I felt so bad. I was so furious. So we came back and I got my sixth graders outside and, you know, the elements of being outside, the distractions. But the kids were excited. They were very quiet. It's like they didn't know that they could unmute in person. So it was just this sense of lack of confidence. And that kind of portrayed into this past year. We had my seventh and eighth graders were very shy in the beginning, very insecure about their skills as musicians. But once the year got started and they started having confidence in themselves, I am very proud of them. And they were able to end the year as strong as any year we've had. And I tried really hard I try to be sensitive to the fact that they may be missing skills from the past year and a half, which they were, but we focused on those and we made them better. And then I tried to encourage them, like, yes, you've been through a lot, but I want to see what we can do. Knowing that we're all here because we love music, we've stayed a part of music because why would you if you didn't love it through all that? What can we do this year? And as most years, the kids surprised me with their rigor and, I guess, grit is the word they like to use these days, to get through and overcome the things they were struggling on and excel in the ways that we normally do every year. So I think behavior-wise, as a school, we struggled. I think a lot of kids were left to be unsupervised when they weren't at school. They didn't necessarily have that structure at home that they would at school, and they didn't know how to behave outside of a classroom. So I think teachers, we all did a really good job coming back, being sympathetic and empathetic to a social emotional health, but still giving them structure in the classroom. But I think our school in particular struggled with when they got out of class, be passing period in lunchtime, after school, running amok through the community. I think there was some things there, but that's why I open up my room at lunch and I allow the kids to practice and play and have a safe place if they need it. So probably the reason I didn't see behavioral problems in my class is because they know that it's a special place and it's a safe place. And myself and my co-director are very strict about how you behave when you're in the music room and how you behave when you're with the band. And that's a really important thing that kids need to understand. And I don't think they always get that outside of school, per se, or outside of, they don't know how to keep themselves in check as a person. But I think, people keep on asking, so how did your school year go? And during the year we were online, I was extremely depressed and frustrated. I love what I do. I love teaching kids in the classroom and experiencing them as people and being a part of that stepping stone in their life. And coming back last year and going through the trenches with them on how to improve and how to build that confidence and, you know, just digging, kind of getting them out of that rut, I was surprised with the amount of good things that happened this year. And I think that it's just going to be even better next year. And my sixth graders this past year were on fire. They were so excited to be back in school and learning and being a part of music. So I think although we are smaller, we are going to be doing some great things. And it's just about rebuilding. The traditions and the culture is still there. We were able to bring back certain things that were lost online. And I look forward to continuing that process into the next school year.
Yeah. Well, on that note, Anastasia, I just so much appreciate your thoughts and sharing everything that's going on. Y'all have some wonderful things going on inside your classroom and things that are a little unique, a little bit different, some twists on some things that we've heard before that you all are doing, and it seems to work really well for your program. So I just appreciate so much, very much, you coming on the show and sharing some of your thoughts and the things that are going on well in your classroom.
Well, thank you.
That's Anastasia Holmes, Director of Bands at San Alejo Middle School in San Marcos, California, talking with Nick Averwater on the After Hours Director's Spotlight, which is presented by Amro Music, a family-owned company since 1921. At AMRO, we work with over 600 schools in 8 states to bring the joy of music to thousands of young musicians. And these partnerships make production of the After Hours podcast possible. Our Director Services Department is ready to work with your school, too. Just email alan@amromusic.com or seth@amromusic.com. The After Hours podcast is produced by Nick Averwater and Joel Hurd in Memphis, Tennessee. You can hear many more conversations with music educators at amromusic.com/afterhours.
Hey, if you enjoyed today's episode, here are 2 easy and fast ways you can support the After Hours show. First, your 5-star review means a lot as it helps to boost us in the podcast rankings so that other music educators just like you can find us. Second, if you thought of someone that would enjoy this week's content and episode, hey, please share it with them so that they too can be a part of the After Hours community. Thanks so much, and we'll see you next week.